Chair Duggan.
Present.
Vice Chair Fabricio.
Present.
Ranking Democratic Member Hunshofsky is excused. Representatives Anderson is excused. Benjamin. Guerrero.
Here.
Botana.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Franklin.
Present.
Griffiths.
Yes, ma'am.
Blaken.
Here.
Rudman.
Here.
Steele.
Here.
Stevenson. Tant.
Here.
Temple.
Here.
Temple.
Here.
Tremont.
Here.
Woodson.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, Kimberly, and Representative Benjamin has joined us. Thank you. Members, as a reminder, well, actually, members and members of the audience, as a reminder, please silence all your electronic devices. Members, please remember to turn your microphones on and off when speaking. I'd like to just begin briefly by acknowledging that Ranking Member Hunshofsky is not with us today because she's back home in Parkland, which she was the mayor of at the time. So back home with her people observing this very sad anniversary, and we obviously our hearts and minds and prayers are with them and with her. With that, members, we have one bill and one presentation today, so we will get right into our agenda. Representative Chunau's HB 57. You are recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, committee members. HB 57, Motor Vehicle Liability Policy, dubbed as the Let's Roll Bill. Florida Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles does not recognize risk retention groups as an acceptable form of primary commercial auto insurance for the purpose of state's financial responsibility laws. This bill would amend the highway safety statute to allow well-capitalized risk retention groups to provide primary commercial automobile insurance to its Florida members, and that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, questions on the bill as presented? Representative Rudman, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative, for putting forward this, what I believe is an amazing bill. But I did have a question. Whenever I see bills like this, I'm always curious. Are we the only state that doesn't currently utilize this product, or are we out there alone in this regard?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Representative, for that question. We are one of four states that don't recognize this form of insurance.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative, what kind of company are we keeping? Who are the other states? Are they Alabama, Georgia?
You recognize.
Chairman, thank you for that question. We are one of four. Florida, Nevada, New York, and Massachusetts are the other company, or the other states that don't recognize this.
Follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Woodson.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Rep. Chunau, for this bill. It's a great bill, but I do have one question. So actually, I'm going to try to put two questions into one. My only concern is what happens if one of those risk retention group goes insolvent?
You recognize?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative, for that question. The risk retention group, they have to be well capitalized of $100 million or more. Like one of the groups that have proposed this is capitalized up to $200 million. So there hasn't been any, to my knowledge, any groups that have gone insolvent. But they have plenty of capital, and they need more capital, they can have a capital call to cover those losses.
Follow up.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And what measures, safeguards, that we have in place just in case if it's happened?
You recognize?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative. So the capital investment that they have to put forward is well more than what the industry standards are today. So they have the tools in place to capitalize when needed.
Any other questions, members? Representative Stevenson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Representative Trunau, for bringing this bill. In the event that there were a need for additional money in the group, would they be able to assess their members for it to fulfill the requirements.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And yes, Representative, as I was stated just now, they can do a capital call to their members to assure that they have what they need, because they are growing members of the risk retention group. That's what the risk is. They're calculating the risk so they have enough capital to function properly.
Follow up.
Thank you. That's the same kind of safeguards that we would have in a traditional insurance product as well, as the ability to assess members. Is that not correct?
You're recognized.
I can't speak to that directly. Thank you, Chair. But I think that there's policies for certain types of insurance, but these capital holdings are well in advance of those numbers. So they have more money set aside than normal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Other questions, members? Seeing none. Amendment barcode 869305 was filed but is being withdrawn. Any other amendments? Seeing none, any public testimony? Robert Reyes, American Contractors Insurance Group. He waves in support. Thank you. Bill Cotterill, Florida Justice Association. You're recognized.
Thank you very much, Chair and members. I'll be brief. First of all, I want to thank the representative, the bill sponsor. He has an open door policy, and we appreciate that and listens to any concerns that we have or may bring to him on the bill. But I also want to recognize the stakeholders. You know, we have an open dialogue, and we'll continue to have that dialogue as the bill progresses. The only thing I really want to mention is just a couple concerns with risk retention groups in general. One of them is that they do fall outside of FIGA, so that's always a concern that if there's a backstop there. Do know that there's a financial requirement provision that is attached to it in this bill, and I think that's a good thing in there. But also the claims handling process. Right now, if it is, the companies are in Florida, then there is a claims management process. If they're outside of Florida, they do fall under FIDUPTA, but they are controlled by the state that they're domiciled in. So, we're just going to keep watching it in case there's any unintended consequences that we're not recognizing right now. But want to thank this bill sponsor, again, for the open door policy and the stakeholders for reaching out to us on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cotterill. I have no other speaker cards. Anybody else here to speak on this bill? Seeing none, we're in debate. Members in debate. Seeing none, Rep. Trunow, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members, for your time and consideration of this bill. I think that we're moving in the right direction to create more products for the businesses of Florida and try to reduce the cost that's applied to them for different insurance products. And with that, I close.
Thank you. Rep. Trunow, having closed on his bill, Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Duggan?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fabricio?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Honchowski is excused. Representatives Anderson is excused. Benjamin?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Plakin?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tant? Temple?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Thank you, Kimberly. Show that bill reported favorably. Congratulations. Members will now move into our presentation from the Department of Financial Services by Austin Stowers, the Legislative Affairs Director. You are recognized.
Good afternoon, Chair Duggan, Vice Chair Fabricio, representatives and policy director Lloyd. Happy Valentine's Day, and thank you for the opportunity to talk about the great work of the Department of Financial Services. My name is Austin Stowers. I'm the Legislative Affairs Director for CFO Jimmy Patronis. Many of you have worked closely with our agency over the past few years and are familiar with what we do, so hopefully this serves as a good refresher for the new members. We're looking forward to working with you and providing help to you and your constituents. So the department is headed by the state-elected Chief Financial Officer. In addition to his role in Florida Cabinet, CFO Petronas serves as the State Treasurer, Comptroller, and State Fire Marshal. Essentially, the CFO is the state's business manager and oversees the investments and spending of the state, and he likes to remind us that he signs all of our checks. DFS is comprised of 13 divisions and has more than 2,500 full-time employees, though the Office of Financial Regulation and the Office of Insurance Regulation report to the Financial Services Commission. They are administratively housed within DFS. The Financial Services Commission is comprised of the governor and the cabinet. The commission oversees the activities of the Offices of Financial Regulation, or OFR, and Insurance Regulation, which is OIR, and appoints executive directors for each office who handle the day-to-day operations of the offices. The Financial Services Commission serves as the agency head for the two offices, authorizes their organizational structure, and approves their proposed rules. Each of these offices is responsible for the state regulation and enforcement of banking and insurance industries in the state. OFR, they have three divisions, and they oversee and regulate state chartered banks, credit unions, mortgage loan originators, security industry participants, consumer finance companies, money transmitters, foreign currency exchangers, and payday lenders. For the Office of Insurance Regulation, they regulate the insurance industry and is responsible for licensing insurance companies and insurance-related entities that issue life and health, property and casualty, and specialty lines insurance products. The OIR provides oversight of insurance company solvency, market conduct performance, they look at rates, policy forms, claims, viatical settlements, premium financing, and administrative supervision. Back over to the department, each of our divisions are overseen by one of the four Deputy Chief Financial Officers that we have on staff and are generally organized by the four silos that you see here: consumer protection, finance, law enforcement, and operations. To be courteous of your time, I'm not going to speak in depth about each of our divisions, but I'll give a brief overview of our responsibilities. For consumer protection, we have our Division of Consumer Services, which helps your constituents make informed financial and insurance decisions. Most of you and your teams reach out to us because of this division. Our insurance consumer helpline is a lifeline to Floridians looking for insurance help. That's 1-877-MY-FL-CFO. We send that out in every email. Anything that we send out, it's going to have that in there. So feel free to, and please do share with your constituents that you have. This helpline allows Floridians to speak with our insurance experts at no cost to them. We provide answers to insurance questions and inquiries, a review of policies to help better understand coverage. We help in filing claims. We provide aid when having trouble communicating with an insurance company. We file complaints against insurance companies and advocate on behalf of those constituents. Many of the legislative concepts that we are going to bring before this committee this year, those come from our folks who answer the calls from your constituents. So they're firsthand accounts of what we're seeing in the market. Last year, the division answered approximately 62,000 consumer calls, advocated on behalf of more than 23,000 insurance consumers, and recovered more than $21 million on behalf of insurance consumers. Our free financial literacy programs are offered online, and some of these programs are designed specifically for audiences including the military, survivors of domestic violence, persons with developmental disabilities, senior citizens, children 10 and under. I know my kids are going to start this pretty soon. And we even have an app for young adults and high schoolers, partnered with Florida State University to create that. So, go Noles. All right. Florida law provides for alternative dispute resolution programs, which includes our mediation program. This helps consumers who are unable to reach a satisfactory claim settlement with their insurance company prior to filing suit. Over the last year, we had 15,000 mediations scheduled, and with 44% or 6,000 of those settled. Many of you will also be familiar with this division due to our disaster response. Our division provides vital insurance information prior to and following storms. We also deploy after storms to set up insurance villages in affected areas. I had the privilege of joining this team after Hurricane Ian. This is led by our division director, Greg Thomas. It's really an incredible group of folks who have the heart to serve people who've just lost everything. 2 weeks ago, we followed up with our original insurance villages, and we had three villages in Punta Gorda, Englewood, and Fort Myers purpose of those villages was to allow policyholders affected by Hurricane Ian to have the opportunity to meet face-to-face with their property insurer to resolve outstanding claims. Over $5.4 million in insurance claims checks were provided by 13 participating insurance companies for impacted residents. So it was a really successful successful events that we had. While I'm focused on consumers here, I'd like to mention the insurance consumer advocate, Tasha Carter. This is a CFO-appointed position, and Ms. Carter's done an amazing job for Floridians looking out for their interests since her appointment in 2019. The Division of Insurance Agent and Agency Services licenses and investigates insurance agents, agencies, adjusters, and a variety of other license types. We protect the public and insurance industry by timely and accurately licensing competent individuals and entities and fairly investigating alleged violations of Florida's insurance laws. Currently, we have more than 1 million active licensees. The Division of Unclaimed Property is a fan favorite. We locate and return financial assets that are known, unknown or lost, have been left inactive, unclaimed, or abandoned by its owner. Account owners or heirs can claim their funds free of charge on our interactive database. I won't be offended, but the chair might, if you take out your phone now and search for fltreasurehunt.gov. You can see if you or your family members have any unclaimed property. It takes 30 seconds. One in five Floridians has unclaimed property. Again, that's fltreasurehunt.gov. Feel free to share that with your constituents. We've got a bunch of tweets and stuff going out about it today, too. So if you want to have any questions on that, feel free to see me. Since CFO Patronus took office, we have recovered nearly $3 billion and returned nearly $2 billion to Florida residents and businesses. The Division of Rehabilitation and Liquidation serves as the court-appointed receiver for any insurer placed into receivership in Florida. The division coordinates and directs the receivership process on behalf of the department. As a receiver, we're able to conduct the business of an insurer. We direct, manage, hire, and discharge employees, and we take possession of and manage property and assets of the insurer if necessary. As you're all aware, there's also a liquidation process for insolvent companies that we oversee. In these instances, our first and most important goal we have is to get individual policies placed and get premium dollars returned to those folks. The Division of Accounting and Auditing carries out the constitutional duties of the CFO and promotes financial accountability for public funds throughout the state. The division is functional owner of the state's accounting system and conducts audits of state expenditures. The Division of Treasury is responsible for investing the state's excess cash, acting as a cash manager for the state, and administers the state's deferred compensation program. So every investment dollar that is earned is one less dollar that we need to tax Floridians. With our law enforcement silo, we have the Division of Investigative and Forensic Services, or DIFS, as most people call it. They are responsible for conducting fire, arson, and explosive investigations associated with crimes statewide. Any large event, like a Super Bowl like we just had, I mean, that was in Arizona, but the better ones have been in Florida the past few years. The Daytona 500, we have teams ready to go at each of those events, and we have a number of accelerant canine detection teams and specialized state forensic lab as well. DIFS also investigates crimes associated with insurance fraud, including claim fraud, premium fraud, and workers' compensation fraud. The division also detects and investigates the theft or misuse of state funds, looking mainly at fraud, waste, and abuse. We receive our referrals from various sources. Most of those are going to be from insurance companies or from constituents themselves. Since 2017, the division has had more than 25,000 cases opened, more than 5,000 arrests, and over 5,000 successful prosecutions. And we've also had more than $211 million requested in restitution. The Division of Public Assistance Fraud investigates allegations to protect Florida taxpayers and our most vulnerable citizens. We investigate application eligibility fraud for the SNAP program, for Medicaid eligibility, school readiness programs, and a multitude of others. For SNAP, we also investigate criminal misuse of benefits or trafficking of those benefits. Last year, the division uncovered $13 million in fraud and halted $19 million due to fraudulent applications or other investigations. The Division of State Fire Marshal has a responsibility of minimizing the loss of life and property due to fire. We track incidents of fire statewide, ensure administrative compliance, regulation and enforcement through fire safety rules and standards. And we support Florida's firefighters statewide for training, education, and safety. The division, along with DIFS, coordinates emergency support functions 4 and 9, which provide mutual aid for fire and rescue services, and coordinates urban search and rescue missions in emergencies, including hurricanes. Our USAR teams are amazing. We've heard dealt with them a lot with hurricanes, with Surfside, with a multitude of events, unfortunately, but they do an incredible job, and so we're really, really grateful for them. The Division of Workers' Compensation actively ensures the self-execution of the state's workers' compensation system and ensures that employers are properly providing coverage for their employees. We're nearly there. The Division of Risk Management acts as the state's insurance company for participating state agencies and universities. We provide coverage for workers' compensation, general and auto liability, property, federal civil rights, and more recently, thanks to the legislature, PTSD coverage and firefighter cancer coverage. The Division of Funeral, Cemetery, and Consumer Services regulates the death care industry with the state board. The division protects health, safety, and welfare of the public and their use of the death care services and enforces law for those licensees. We have numerous other roles and offices that we play, but two of the larger projects we currently have going on right now are the Florida Palm, which is the state's accounting system replacement project. The Palm project is doing well. We have a cash management phase, which has been implemented, and we're looking forward to the next steps pretty soon here. We are implementing feedback we received from the legislature this past year and are excited to continue the next phase of this project. We also have the My Safe Florida Home program, which was reenacted in May of last year. This is a great program. It's really just starting up. We've had an incredible amount of interest generated already in the last 4 months. Inspections and grants awards are well underway. And we do have some ideas to improve the program that we're going to be bringing forth this year. And look forward to working collaboratively with you guys on that. Chair, members, that is the conclusion of the presentation on behalf of CFO Petronas. Thank you for the opportunity to provide this presentation. And we appreciate all the time and support. Mr. Chair, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Stowers. Excellent presentation. Just the right altitude. Members, any questions? Question? Yeah, yes. Rep. Whitson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for your presentation, sir. I just have two questions for you, if I may, and thank you for all that you do as well. Out of the 2,852 investigations and audits that you completed in 2022, mm-hmm. how many of those resulted in invalid findings?
You recognize?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me see if I have that real quick.
And if you don't have it now, sorry, Mr. Chair.
It's okay.
If you don't have the numbers now, you could always send them to us. I would like Absolutely. To see how many of those resulted in valid findings.
Absolutely. I don't have that number right now, but I will provide it to you and the committee as well.
Okay.
You recognize?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I appreciate it. Is there a time limit on unclaimed funds or properties?
You recognize?
There's no statute of limitation
There's
on that.
There's
no. No, ma'am. No. So we receive those usually within 5 years of those accounts being dormant or something of that nature. And then there's no statute of limitations on those. Those funds sit, and we want to get them back to Floridians. We don't have any use for them right now, so we want it's your money. We're trying to get it back to you. So
you recognize?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just thinking that's food for thought, as we have so many needs in the state, like, let's just say, affordable housing and all those. If there's a time limit, maybe that money could be used for that. So just food for thought. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You recognize?
Thank you. And so there is, if we do have more than, I believe it's $15 million in reserve, those goes over to state education and to one of the trust funds within Department of Education. So those are used for individual counties' needs for education. So we are required to keep $15 million in the bank each year for unclaimed property. Anything in excess of that rolls into those trust funds.
Just to clarify, is that just the interest on that amount or the actual corpus over $15 million? Is it both?
It could be, but I'll follow up on that.
Okay. Yep. Yes, follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can we have a conversation about that?
Absolutely. Right now?
Talk to you about, no, not now. We talk to your office. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, ma'am. Representative Botana.
Thank you, Chair. Austin, and thank CFO Petronas' office for your guys' help in Fort Myers right across from Harlem Heights. You guys were out there early, long days and nights out in the sun, but just say thank you very much for helping out our community after Hurricane Ian.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions? All right. Seeing none, thank you very much. Members, I will say these folks, as was alluded to in their presentation, I'm sorry, Representative Benjamin, you have a question?
Yeah, if you need a good treasure hunter, I know how to get your money.
So you're definitely, a lot of your constituent needs are going to run through their department. I encourage you to reach out to them. They're enormously helpful in facilitating help and solutions. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, members, that concludes our agenda. There's no other business. Representative Kennedy moves, we rise. Without objection, we are adjourned.